You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Before Joshua Stickel began working as a college guidance counselor at Brooklyn's High School of Secondary Research in 2006, many of the school's mostly low-income students didn't expect to go on to college and doubted it would even be possible for them. Their parents hadn't gone to college, they couldn't pay the tuition, and they needed to work to support themselves and their families. But by the time those students graduated, after months of one-on-one support from Mr. Stickel, all of them had been admitted to a college, and as a group, they had qualified for $1.8 million in scholarships. Mr. Stickel tells the stories of 10 of those students in Hold Fast to Dreams, which he co-wrote with his wife, Beth Zasloff. He's here today with two of those students, Nikasi Rankin, who went on to graduate from Bates College, and Aisha Diallo, who graduated from Manhattanville College. The book is published by the Duke Press. I'm very pleased it has brought them to our show today. Hello.
Hi. So happy to be here.
Now, Josh, you'd been a college guidance counselor at a small private school in the Upper East Side before you started at the School for Secondary Research. What led you to leave what must have been a fairly comfortable job to work at a public school in Brooklyn?
I had a wonderful experience working at that previous school, and it was a really nurturing K through 12. And I also had the opportunity to really learn deeply about the field of college admissions while I was there. And one of the things that I learned in that time was that it made a really powerful difference, the kind of advocacy that students had in the process, both in terms of where they applied and where they got in.
Even when you're working in a school where all of the kids can afford to go to decent schools, their parents know a lot more about how to get them into schools than they might in many of the public schools in Brooklyn.
Indeed.
In fact, throughout the city.
Yeah, I mean, but it is such it's such a complex process, and it requires so much support that even families who are extremely savvy really seek out that kind of guidance. And so for me, it was important to be able to shift to work where I felt like I had the opportunity to advocate and support students who didn't have that kind of guide or mentor in their corner.
Because it was obvious that the students who needed the most help were getting the least.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I've seen you described as the School for Secondary Research's first ever college counselor. Is that because the school was new? It had just been opened in the building that used to be John Jay High School on 7th Avenue, Park Slope. Or was it because public schools don't usually hire dedicated college counselors?
It's the latter. I think that one incredible challenge for students in our city's public school system, and frankly in our nation's public schools, is that there's rarely a staff person whose job it is to be a dedicated college counselor.
And Nikasi, weren't you one of the first students to respond to an email that Josh sent out to students to introduce himself?
Yeah, I was pretty eager to begin the college process, and when I found out that Mr. Stickel was going to join our school community, I jumped on the opportunity to seek out some help.
As I understand it, you had decided before you met him that you wanted to go to college.
Yes, absolutely.
And that you started telling people when you were only 13 years old that you would be the girl that gets out of the hood.
Yes.
That you'd grown up in Philadelphia originally?
I grew up for the first few years of my life. I grew up in Philadelphia, and then my mother and my family, we moved to Brooklyn and lived in the East Flatbush neighborhood.
And none of your parents?
My parents
had never gone to college.
Never gone to college, and my father barely finished high school. So it was very pivotal to my mother that I attained an education, but also pursue higher education.
But you also had other responsibilities. You were going to school. You were also taking care of a younger sister with your brother.
Yeah, and working as well. So there were a lot of competing priorities, but I thought it was really important that I look for other ways to support them, and I think attaining a higher education served as a role model for them.
That is sometimes it's discouraged in certain neighborhoods in New York. Was that a problem for you at all, or among your peers at school?
I think a lot of people had the perception that college was only affordable for certain people in society, and I think getting into college was just a big deal no matter where you went. So I wouldn't say that it was discouraged. I just thought many people felt hopeless about actually getting into college and completing it.
Aisha, did you also know you wanted to go into college before you met Josh Stickle?
Absolutely. I came to this country to get a better education, and that involved going to college and getting a college degree.
You came here from where?
I came here from Guinea-Conakry.
And you faced a challenge that actually didn't. You were undocumented.
Yes.
So is it hard to get into a lot of schools if you're undocumented? I would assume it is.
It was extremely hard. For one, I didn't fit into the a lot of the categories that colleges had, and so I had to either be accepted as an international student or pay for myself. And so the colleges in the city were too expensive for my family, and so I had to attain my dream of going to college to a private university who would actually have to pay more than 75% of my tuition. And so that was extremely difficult.
In the past, you would have gone to one of the city colleges. So have they become too expensive?
I think they have, because I have a brother who's trying to go to college, and it's been extremely difficult for him because of the financial aspects of it. So I think for low-income students who have that dream, it's extremely difficult.
Josh, before you met Aisha, had you had any experience working with undocumented students in college admissions?
I had very limited experience. I mean, in the year prior, actually, in Nicosi's class, there were a couple of students. And for those students, often the primary choice is a City University of New York college.
Well, you have changed the names of several students in your book, including Aisha's. Because in your case, Aisha, because you're undocumented, is that still a problem that you have to deal with?
It's not a problem, but I want to make sure that I protect the privacy of other members in my family who might be going through the same situation.
Well, one of the biggest hurdles that undocumented students face is that they're not eligible for financial aid from the United States government. And that was something that President Obama tried to address with the DREAM Act, but that wasn't passed.
And also very recently in the New York State government, another version of the DREAM Act that would enable undocumented students to qualify for state-based aid was also not approved.
Now, you have a special job, but isn't most college counseling left to the high school general guidance counselors? Who have a lot of other stuff on their plate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in general, if anyone in a school setting, in a public school setting here in the city, is responsible for college counseling, it's usually the guidance counselor, although many principals work to find creative ways to find someone who can fill that role and fulfill those responsibilities. You know, the grave issue is that guidance counselors or teachers or whoever is filling that role often have tremendous other responsibilities. Guidance counselors typically have caseloads of hundreds of students.
You say 460 students, which allows them to give 38 minutes of college admission advice to each student.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked Nicosi or Aisha the amount of time that we had to spend together in order to ensure that they had powerful choices in this process, I think 38 minutes would seem like a ludicrous number.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot of time, a lot of periods where we were going through different colleges, what financial aid means, the admissions process, why it's important to interview for schools, the personal statement, which is very complex. How do you afford financial aid? All of that was definitely time well spent, but time well needed.
I'm talking with Nicosi Rankin and Aisha Diallo, two of the students who have been profiled in Joshua Steckel's book called Hold Fast to Dreams. There are 10 all together, but do you find that these two represent the general the kind of group that you were dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important to note that we were working to provide that support to the entire graduating class of students. And one of the reasons that my wife Beth and I chose to write the book in the way that we did is that we felt like the city's public schools were full of incredibly powerful stories, and that so often when these stories are told, they're told about one student. And in fact, I think that really kind of undercuts and undercredits the really amazing things that young people are doing every day. And Nicosia and Aisha and the eight other students we chose because we felt their experiences were really representative of a large spectrum of students' experiences.
Well, when I think of kids who are in your situation, Nicosia, I don't think of them going away to a residential school like Bates in rural Maine.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
A live-away school.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was definitely something hard for my family as well. It's not just, you know, getting into college, what kind of collegiate experience your parents want you to have, and what do they feel comfortable with, and what do they recognize as a safe space is important too.
Were you receiving lots of offers?
Yeah.
Because your grades were good.
My grades were good, so I did receive a lot of offers. I did get accepted into all of the SUNYs I applied to, a couple private liberal arts colleges. So I did, it was a great experience to get into these colleges.
And offers from a lot of for-profit schools that turn out to have fairly low graduation rates.
Well, I actually didn't apply to any for-profit schools. Mr. Sterkel really saw that those schools were targeting me, and not to disavow any of their importance in the collegiate experience or the students who attend them, but he felt that it would be more helpful for me to attend a school where there's a little, it's not for profit, and that they were able to help me financially to complete my education.
Well, Josh, how come Bates, of all schools? Did you have some connection there? Did you see it as a good fit for Nicosia?
I did see it as a good fit, but I think that when we do this college counseling work, one thing that's extremely important is to help kids find a strong match. And match is not only about where a student can get in, but it's also about finding places where students will find robust support structures and the funding that they need to ensure that the chances of college success are high.
And Bates was a good fit?
At the time that Nicosia was applying, Bates was in the midst of really working in a way that has turned out to be extremely powerful to diversify their student body and to really embrace as a campus community the importance of engaging with difference as part of the school's mission and set of values in terms of educating its campus community.
Well, in a little bit, Nicosia, I'd like to find out what happened when you actually arrived at Bates. But Aisha, you also had a kind of strong academic and extracurricular record. But you didn't wind up going to a residential college.
Manhattanville was a residential college. I actually ended up dorming. It's not too far from home, so I was able to visit frequently with my family. And so it was a great experience sort of being on my own and being independent, especially coming from the culture that I come from, which is very, my parents are very overprotective of me, and especially being the oldest and being a girl, they wanted to make sure that I went to a place that they felt comfortable with and that I can get a quality education.
But also, you had to work out how to get accepted to a school since you were undocumented.
Yeah, that was really difficult. I'll say that was the most difficult aspect of the whole college process, because I couldn't apply to a lot of the colleges that my classmates were applying to, so I had to apply to really highly selective schools and hope that, you know, they thought that I had what it takes to get into school but also, like, be able to graduate.
But then you also decided with your father to seek asylum.
Yes.
How did that work out?
It worked out in our favor, but when we're doing the process, it was nerve-wracking because it came down to two things. Either we get asylum or we get deported back home. But
So this is a real gamble.
Yeah, it was a gamble, but it was time to take the gamble because my father had been here for more than 10 years. And I think he found that it was important to see if we can actually become legal because we had a family here and, you know, we're trying to pursue a life here in this country. So I think it was a worth it effort.
I'm talking with two of the students who are profiled in a book by Beth Zaslav and Joshua Steckel called Hold Fast to Dreams, a college guidance counselor, his students, and the Vision of Life Beyond Poverty. It is published by the New Press. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with Joshua Steckel, who is the co-author with his wife, Beth Zaslav, of a book called Hold Fast to Dreams, a college guidance counselor, his students, and the vision of life beyond poverty. It is the winner of the Studs and Ida Turkle Award, published by the New Press. Also with us are two of the students that he has profiled in the book, Nika C. Rankin and also Aisha Diallo. And I've noticed that currently more women than men are enrolling in and graduating from college, and I can't help but notice that we're speaking here with two female graduates. Have you seen anything in your work, Josh, that would help explain that gender gap?
I want to say first, on behalf of all of the young men we profile in the book, that they're not being here is only because they're working. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's a nationwide pattern that I'm not sure is. I think there are specific dimensions that are relevant for low income students and students of color. But I think that in general, colleges are you know, often the gender distribution is 40 to 60 or 45, 45 men to women.
Now, did you when? Aisha was waiting for the government's decision as to whether to grant her asylum or not. Did you feel a certain responsibility, a certain stress?
Sure. I mean, I think just first for clarity, I think that the INS process is one that often lasts a really long time, and so it's one that began in Aisha's, really at the end of Aisha's junior year, and continued through the end of even I think maybe the beginning of her sophomore year in college. And so one of the really remarkable things about you, Aisha, was that you were managing that process during that time.
And you were eventually granted asylum. But
yes.
Did it affect the schools you might have applied to? Cut down on some of them because you couldn't think long term?
Yeah. I feel like if I had asylum during my college application process, I would have gotten to a lot of the schools that I had my heart set on, and so I feel like that definitely limited my options.
So you've considered transferring after your first year at Manhattanville?
Yeah, I considered transferring to Amherst, which is one of my top schools, but I decided to stay at Manhattanville because I had already created sort of an environment for myself. I had friends there. I had gotten used to college campus life there. I had really close professors who, you know, assisted me with academic work and things of that nature. And so I felt it was better to stay.
You can see we talked about getting into college, but I'm curious about what it was like to actually go. I mentioned this before, the culture shock that you must have experienced when you went from urban Brooklyn to rural Maine.
Yeah, that was definitely something that awakened me, that there are just different parts of society, and just in terms physically, but also the people who inhabit them. And I think one of the first things I realized is that college was there was already established network within the population, the way people studied, the way people interacted, you know, the partying life, all of that was something I just never, I had no idea existed.
You hadn't partied at school?
No, it was totally different. And I think I always refer to it, and I think in Mr. Steckel's book, where he refers to it as social currency. When you've made it through the college process, so now how do you succeed? You need support. You need friends. You need to know how to navigate.
Well, I'm interested in hearing that Nixie wanted Aisha wanted to go to Amherst, because I've spoken to people from New York who went to Amherst and said they felt like fish out of water simply because they were New York, and yeah. Most of the students there were from other parts of the country and had a very different sense of how the world worked. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that would have been even a bigger problem for you in a place like Bates.
Yeah, I mean, definitely racially, where I was from, I think there was prior to Brooklyn being cool, there was a perception of what Brooklyn was and who lived in Brooklyn. And so people were, you know, people didn't want to talk to me because I was from Brooklyn. They thought I was too urban. They thought I dressed funny. I talked differently. I didn't have what it takes to be a part of the social circles. And it was a frightening experience.
And then there is always the temptation for minority students to all band together, whether they get along or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was I needed to find a support system, and at first I was resistant to it, but eventually I found that that was something that I needed as a resource just to sort of navigate. And
so you also considered leaving, but you decided to stay as well.
I did consider leaving because not only was the stress of fitting in a problem, I was not doing so well academically. I didn't have the tools. I didn't understand the study habits. I didn't know. I didn't have resources to say, can you review my paper? Can you help me with this? I'm not sure if I'm structuring this sentence correctly. So
on top of it all, you had ambitious majors, didn't you?
Yeah.
A double major in politics and women and gender studies with a minor in German.
Yeah. these were things I was interested in, and I began taking these classes, and I wanted to do it. I didn't feel like I couldn't do it, but I felt like I didn't have the resources to do it successfully at first.
Now, Josh, I mentioned that you've written this book in collaboration with your wife, Beth Zaslav. Mm-hmm. She gets top billing here. Does that mean that she probably did most of the writing because she teaches writing?
That's right. Beth is a wonderful writer.
Did you split the work?
So it was in many ways it was a really deeply collaborative process. But in general, I did lots of the research. I did the interviewing with students. I collected the artifacts from our work together. I visited students on campus. I interviewed them there. I interviewed them in their homes or at my home. I interviewed their professors, their advisors, and Beth did the writing and transcribed the interviews, and we worked together over many, many hours to try to ensure that the content and force of their stories was really accurate, which was
Did any of the students reach out to you when they were in college because they still felt they needed advice?
Indeed. I mean, that's they're both nodding their heads. I mean, that's a really important part of the work that I do. I mean, we make these connections, and then they're really important connections. It's those relationships that I think, when Nicosi talks about needing support structures, it's about fostering and creating and finding those relationships with adults or peers who can really support them.
My guest is Joshua Steckel, who with Beth Zaslav wrote Hold Fast to Dreams. It is published by The New Press. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, as I mentioned, we're only discussing two of the students in the book, but all 10 are inspiring. Obviously, that's why you chose them. How many people altogether do you think you sent to college who might not have gone otherwise or might have had a hard time getting into a good school?
So I've been working as a counselor for about 15 years. I've been working in the public schools about 8 years. And so, I've worked with about 1,000 students over that time.
One of them is Mike Forbes, mm-hmm. who applied to Skidmore while living with his mother and younger brothers in a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it difficult for him to decide if he should go or not, even after he was offered a scholarship?
Yeah, it was terrifically difficult. It was tragically difficult. I mean, I think that even after he had ultimately chosen to go to Skidmore, I think that decision was one that really stuck with him and continued to tear him up. I think that was extremely hard, and I think that it's one of the reasons why college counselors need to be counselors. Being with him as he made that decision was really central to his feeling like he was making a decision that he could live with.
And then there's a moving story about Ashley Brown, who was determined to become a doctor, admitted to Williams College, a school that's hard to get into, but then she dropped out after her first year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Ashley is an amazing person, an incredibly inspiring person who I remember when I first met her feeling like that she was a young person whose story I really wanted to be a part of. And she did well at Williams. I think that that dropping out is, I think that the deal with her is that she made a really intentional decision to leave because she felt like in other circumstances she could not only achieve the goals that she had set for herself, but she could also really act as a support to hold her family together. And so I think that...
So she moved back to Brooklyn from New England.
Indeed.
And went to a school here?
She went to the Borough of Manhattan Community College, and she studied nursing. She's now an RN, but I think one of the really surprising things that in all of the stories, I think that a lot of my assumptions about what the best outcomes for students are challenged. And she found that in many ways, being a successful student at BMCC required more persistence and resilience and ability than she needed to demonstrate at Williams.
And you've also moved to another school.
I have. Since 2009, I've been at the Brooklyn School for Collaborative Studies, which is 6 through 12 between the Carroll Gardens and Red Hook neighborhoods of Brooklyn. It's a member of the NYC Outward Bound Schools Network, and I continue to do the same work with a very similar population of students from all over Brooklyn.
You also hire some of the people you've worked with later to help you with other students?
Yeah, so we have to think really hard in order to provide the kind of level, intensive level of services and advocacy and support to all of our students. We have to think about how to build the capacity of our program, and one of the ways that we do that is by partnering with organizations that can help us provide those supports, and we've been working with an organization called College Access Research and Action, or CARA, and with them we've hired a current senior at John Jay College who graduated from our school 4 years ago, and she works with our kids from April to August to ensure that they get enrolled in college after they leave us.
And then there are other programs like the Posse Scholars Program, although Nikasi and Aisha, you weren't part of that.
No,
but my best friend did the program, and so.
Well, right now we've been hearing about people graduating from college, expecting to go out and suddenly change the world or make a lot of money. Has it been okay since you graduated from school?
Yeah, it's been really rewarding. Right now, I currently, after graduating, I did a lot of time to think about what I wanted to do and decided I wanted to go back into the education sector, primarily through the nonprofit lens. So I currently work for an organization called Everybody Wins New York, and we provide a mentoring and literacy program to kindergarten students through eighth grade in public schools.
But you're not applying what you learned in school in politics
and
German? Are you speaking a lot of German in the job?
No, but there's definitely a lot of politics there, working with schools, obviously. But it's something that I personally feel I'm interested in. It's something I experience, and I know how important a mentor is.
And Aisha, what did you major in?
I majored in international relations.
Yeah. So right now, are you an advisor to President Obama? He needs all the help he can get with Crimea.
So hopefully maybe one day. But right now I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is that I want to do. I'm moving to Atlanta soon, so that's an exciting step
now,
forward.
Do you both have friends who went to public high schools and who weren't able to get into college or who have struggled a lot more than you have?
Yeah, I have many friends who it's definitely a story that people don't realize is important. I have friends who couldn't make it to college because they got pregnant or circumstances in their life changed and college wasn't for them right now, including my mother. And she actually graduated from college 2 years ago from John
Jay. Inspired by her daughter.
Yeah, you can say that. But I also inspired by her. But I think it is possible. Sometimes it's not immediate, but having that access and knowing how it works is really important.
And Aisha, you also work for the Clinton Foundation and for Bill de Blasio?
Yes, I interned for him while I was a sophomore, I believe, in high school. And I interned with the Clinton Foundation my senior year of college.
Do you think that the mayor could do anything to make it easier for public school students to go on to college?
Definitely. One of the problems that I experienced while I was in high school is that Mayor Bloomberg actually cut the budget for the schools. So I feel like the current mayor could help students with their education by providing them with the resources that they need, more funding, more teachers.
Absolutely.
Teachers work extremely hard, and they deserve to be paid more, and they deserve to be credited for that. So, definitely.
Josh, I'm sure you're happy to hear that. Say that teachers deserve to be paid more. My great thanks to the three of you for being on our show. Aisha Diallo, Nikasi Rankin, and Joshua Steckel, who with his wife Beth Zasloff has written Hold Fast to Dreams, a college guidance counselor, his students, and the vision of a life beyond poverty. It is published by the New Press, and it is the winner of the Studs and Ida Terkel Award. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.